Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, my next guest has the uncanny ability to become some of the most recognisable people in the country. That might sound like a weird sentence, but it's true. Become some of the most recognisable people in the country. Callan's Kicks on RT Radio 1, that is Oliver Callan's weekly skewering of Irish politics and current affairs. And now he's taken the massively popular show on the road with dates all across the country. He has an extensive cast of characters and is busy kicking our leaders and legends into the next decade. And Oliver joins me now to tell me all about it. And he's brought along some of his favourite tracks for good measure as well. Just before I even say hello, I just want to say that it's March 21 is in Limerick, March 28 is in Athlone, and then it's mostly April and May in terms of the live dates you're doing. Here's a question. I wonder if you've ever been asked this before. When did you realise you were a mimic?
God, I don't really know. My mum is from Cork. I grew up in Monaghan, so there's two big accents already in the house. You got a big broad vowels out of Monaghan, and you got the Cork accent, which is kind of East Cork, and they talk really fast. They kind of talk like Dave Fanning down there all the time, except they go hi at the end of the sentence.
I don't say boy.
You don't say boy, but that's a city now. It's East Cork.
Always.
So there's lots of accents, and I had cousins from Newry, so there's lots of people like, you know, we had the, you know, our man, our dad's from Armagh type thing going on, and we just loads of accents, and I just used to do them. Now, of course, everyone else in the house was aware of the accents and hearing them, but for some reason, I decided to translate this musical mellifluous sounds come to my ears.
And was there a eureka moment when you discovered that you had this fantastic talent?
Probably school, you know. It's
school, that's not eureka. School is 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
Everybody does a version of their teachers, don't they? Everyone mimics them in some way, usually their catchphrase, whatever. Yep. But I could actually do their voices, and that kind of probably got me out of bullying for many years in school, free pass throughout the whole thing, because it was just, yeah, do your man, do
that. Yeah, we all did that, the teachers. I forgot about that. So that's what it was at school.
I think it was at school, yeah.
And did you put on shows? Like, let's get Oliver to be funny.
We used to do really bad Christmas shows in the school, which had to be in the parish hall, the Holy Family Hall.
Around 2007 direction, was that Jerry Ryan show kind of thing? Is that where it really came into its own?
I did 3 years in the Jerry Ryan show, and the poor man his 10th anniversary is coming up, isn't the end of next month. Yeah. So yeah, I did 3 years. We had great crack on that show, and that was in terms of professional, doing it professionally, was the eureka moment.
Sorry, excuse me, Jerry Ryan, a professional in the one sentence. Tell me about this. What did I miss?
Doing it professionally, as in getting paid to do it.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
I actually used to come in and watch Jerry on the odd Friday evening, Friday morning, and he would very much be aware someone was watching, and they would be.
He put on a show for
you. The craziness would go up a few extra gears, you know, because he's somebody new.
Do you think you were shy when you were a kid?
I was shy. I think I'm kind of even shy now, to be honest. Yeah, definitely shy. And that helps, because you're the one sort of sitting in the corner watching everyone else having fun, and you're listening, and, you know, the kind of cute whore sort of thing. You're watching everyone and tuned in to what's going on. Because you have to spectate in order to hear and to...
You didn't sort of take a pencil from behind your ear and a little notebook and write down
the key.
Notes.
Yeah, catch the key to a voice, because everyone has a voice, has a key.
Yeah,
I think yours was the laugh, actually.
Was it?
And I think the first time I probably got your voice was remember the radio, the TV ad you did. Was it for?
Oh yeah,
for Aircom.
Was it? No, it was for Aircom.
It was Aircom. Yeah, anyway, kind of got on the phone and everything like that. I'm kind of, yeah. By the way, Arsene, it's your mum on the phone. Yeah,
that was it.
But it was the laugh at the end.
That's right. That was it.
And you were a character I did on Gift Grub, in fact.
Really?
Yeah. So I was a newsreader in Today FM. I did the voices on Gift Grub, but it was never going to become a duet because Mario was like, you know. An articulated lorry juggernaut. Juggernaut was the word I was looking for. But
what are you, a Fiat Punto or something? I would have thought
in the day. But I mean, like,
you have to start somewhere.
So I had to go out of Today FM, and that's why I end up on 2FM. Actually, was started with Marty Whelan in the morning in this very studio. Marty in the morning, and then that was canned while Marty was skiing. It's one of the seven axings of Marty. I think it's in the Bible. And then Jerry, because there was a kind of a rumour that I was going to end up on some show on Radio 1, which you can't mention, Jerry said, don't mind, do nothing, say nothing, go home and you'll be on our show. I'll sort it out. All right. And that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Okay, by the way, we are talking to Oliver Callan, and he's playing loads of gigs, two in March, two Saturdays, and then it's all April and May around the country, and there's lots of gigs, I can tell you as well. The first time in 5 years on stage?
The first time in 5 years, yeah. So we're going to do 20 counties now, and hopefully some more in the autumn, because you don't really do the summer when it's these kind of indoor, because we like to go into festivals and so on, and marquees and the like. So we'll be back in the autumn, and hopefully going up north as well for the first time, across the border. To the grim north.
And it's not far from the border that you were born. And when you grew up in Inniskeen in Monaghan, you were aware, I presume, of politics big time from an early age?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're on the border, and we used to, you know, I definitely remember the back door rattling the odd time something might have gone up in Cross McLean direction. They were fond of filling slurry tanks, hijacking slurry tanks, filling them with petrol, and then setting them off outside the barracks in Cross Midlen. So definitely remember that. And of course, we went to Newry for our summers. So we got to have a look at checkpoints and soldiers with guns. But we just, you know, we're kids. We're going like, that's hilarious. Look at the, it's a real gun.
You know, at the end of the 90s, you decided to become a journalist as such? I mean,
that was kind of what it was gearing to do. Yeah, it did leave me starting in 99. So I went into DCU, did a degree in journalism there.
And what was it like doing like a news every hour on the radio? I mean, like within the other 55 minutes?
I loved it at the time. It probably changed my accent, I think, forever, because I created this kind of Brian Jennings style character who has to pronounce his words perfectly, because you became aware of how you say words like lorry. In Monaghan, you would just say lorry, and then you're announcing a crash that's happened, and everyone's rolling around laughing, going, "It's what's a lorry? It's lorry and police, and you know, the words," and then they all got filtered out.
You have to be yourself, though, as well. I mean, did you ever see the King's Speech?
Yeah.
The movie. And the first 5 minutes, it's the guy dressed up to the nines, taking a drink of water and, like, you know, with a dicky bow and everything else. And all he's saying is the BBC. And he's saying nothing else. Kind of thing. That's his whole day's work. Kind of thing. And he hands over the king or whoever it was, you know. But the point about it is...
And like, they had a dinner jacket on the back of the door.
Exactly.
To give you
but
that
the point
feeling.
About it all is, like, you know, regional accents were basically frowned upon. Now it's just be yourself.
Yeah, but even it was frowned upon even when Joe Duffy had come along, and he was kind of regarded as the only accent that was on the radio. And if you get on your YouTube and you listen to early Pat Kenny and the early broadcasters, they were all very much informed by the British accent. Whereas now later, they tend to be more informed by the American accent, if you know what I mean. I don't know who I'm talking about.
Do you not?
Yeah.
I wonder actually, because who. Listen, we were talking to Oliver Callan. I did mention that he's brought in some music as well. So we play a couple of tracks. You picked Radiohead.
Yeah.
Why Radiohead and why that track?
As was, that's the soundtrack of my teenage years going into college term, and Radiohead was the thing when I was trying to be cool, because I was kind of non-cool. I was into current affairs and politics in school, so the cool kids were wearing Radiohead t-shirts, and anytime I hear it, it just brings me right back, kind of late 90s, early noughties. I think the track I picked was There, which is an underrated
one in some ways, underappreciated.
I just love, because it was their return to form after Kid A and Amnesiac. I was lucky enough to see them in the Olympia doing the show.
This is from Hail to the Thief, isn't it?
Hail to the Thief. So we were all very angry. It was angry about actual war and lots of people, you know, real rage.
Not the usual student stuff.
You know, back when colleges were places where you got angry and you stuck it to the man.
Yeah.
And Hail to the Thief, what a great name for an album.
I know. It could do it a bit more of that, I can tell you, colleges. You know, they can't all just be about fees.
Yeah. No, don't bother to be woke. Wake up.
Indeed. Okay, I'll play this track. Oliver Callan, he's picked this, Radiohead. It's called There. There you go. There is the name of the song, and that's from Radiohead, of course, from Hail to the Thief. Oliver Callan is who we're talking to, playing loads of gigs around the country. The last two Saturdays, if you like, of March is Limerick and Athlone, and then right through April and May, loads of dates around the
Limerick
country.
Limerick City.
I'll give
like,
them
you know,
all
I don't know
to
if
you
everyone
again.
Sounds like the rubber bandits in Limerick City, but you know, you can't put them all into one pigeonhole.
I'm just thinking, did I meet you with Blind Boy?
Yes.
I did.
Unmasked.
Unmasked and Blind Boy
photograph
walked into
him.
A pub in some part of Dublin, and I remember as well. And
I
there you
were. Dave Fanning there. I want a photo with Dave Fanning. Give me the bag.
I gave him my
and
5 minutes.
The photo. It was great because it was Dave Fanning talking
to him. I was so thrilled.
It was an out of body experience for the rest of us watching the TV. Dave going, I want to talk about Dave Fanning. Like,
Yeah. Okay, where was I? In fact, his accent is one of the most powerful parts of his podcast. It's
totally
so fantastic. It's
and that's what he sounds like.
So lovely.
Without the mask, so it's
that's the wrong word. Did I say lovely? No, wait, can I go back on that? Hold on.
Well, it's lovely that he's using his real accent.
Like, by the way, people, assuming, I presume, that they know your political persuasions based on who you go after in Callan's Kicks, I presume that's just nonsense in some ways.
Well, I get mostly accused of being a shinner because I'm from Monaghan, until you do jokes about the shinners, and then the shinner people think you're Fine Gael and so on. And when Fianna Fáil were in power, they assumed I was a blue shirt. And then when Fine Gael was in power, they think I'm a secret Fianna
Fáil. So everybody annoyed result.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, but you have to kick them all evenly. But I do write columns, so sometimes people will see one headline and they'll say, well, that's his view forever. Whereas I always say about column writing is that I have opinions as opposed to an agenda.
Yeah, right.
You know,
but you don't write the headline either.
No,
have you ever been shocked at the headline going, wait a minute, I can't
it's the
anything.
Irish Sun, so I tried to beat the headline writers the odd time, but they didn't like my puns.
Is there any way at all that you would feel God, I've got to watch laughing too, actually, I've just thought of that.
Yeah,
at all, like that you have that you like criticism, that you have a thick skin and you expect it, and if you don't get it, you feel you mightn't be doing your gig right.
I think so. I mean, the last thing you want is to have the people you're doing in terms of the satire that you're aiming at, have them showing up at your shows. Like, I mean, I don't mind Dave Fanning or Marty Morrissey showing up at the shows because we put them in the show as kind of the light entertainment, because there's no real deep satire to get on you, Dave, is there?
Is there something
terrible
normal
you've done?
And boring.
Whereas like the people with the power and are getting paid to do certain things and not doing it, they're the ones you kind of kick, so it's kind of like punching in the right direction. But if you like you don't want Mary Lou McDonald tweeting at you saying, loved what you did at the, really love you, really great coverage.
I'm just thinking though, that could be their default. That could be their own defence thing.
No, it is a good way of defending it. I think Leo tried that.
So don't fall for it. Obviously
really
you won't.
No,
okay. In terms
really
of doing Callan's
myself.
What's
BTW.
More important than Callan's cakes?
Dave, I'm actually interrupting your question. Sorry about that. Go on. That's a great question. That was a really good question.
I'll try and be a nerd from Monaghan, whatever you call yourself. The perfect impression is one side. The content of the comedy is another. Is there a more important one? Do you weigh them up? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you can do, like, lots of people can do kind of pub impressionists, but like you need to have the script there. It does take a long time. I mean, I wouldn't listen back to a lot of stuff I did on Jerry Ryan's show. It was called Knob Nation, so you can tell it wasn't very subtle, because it takes a long time to kind of find the voice, whatever, and do it properly, I suppose. But I mean, I was kind of in my 20s at the time, so it was funny to me at the time. But now it's kind of, well, we're Radio 1, aren't we? So it has to be a little bit more sophisticated, perhaps. But I do have writers on Callan's Kicks, good writers. I mentioned Fiona Looney and James Cotter, who has a connection to Blind Boy because he directed all the stuff that Blind Boy has done on RT and more recently on the BBC. So really solid people.
But hold on, do you have a team?
A team of writers, yeah.
Oh, a team of writers?
Yeah.
Right. And are you in there giving your socks as well?
I mean, I kind of am the control freak. So I go, they're the sketches I want this week. Do you want to do that? And we know the people who are good at doing, who can write the voices for certain characters. Like Leo and Murph's was a whole world. Because one day we had Indikini and the Ring, the Michael Ring, which was real culture and Western sort of humour. And then literally overnight it went to, you know, these guys, tote sledge bag, absolute amazeballs. And
wow, man, yeah, the housing crisis is like so amazing. Makes me look almost relatable. # look at my beard. I look almost homeless. It's the most I've ever done for the housing crisis. Lol, Kano.
You know, so you have to find someone who can write the characters in
that
right
way. Well, now I'm getting it. Hold on a second now. Do you learn, like, would you have to learn a lot off by heart? Or do you, like, what happens in this live gig here if somebody shouts something from the audience?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. Yeah. You're on stage for an hour, half an hour and 45 minutes. So yeah, you have to learn it off. It's very different because you're doing the radio show, but it's perishable, the radio show. Whereas your writing for the live show has to be something that's going to last a bit longer. But I mean, the tour starts on the 21st of March. Probably still going to be caretaker Taoiseach. And maybe a few weeks into the tour, we could have Taoiseach Micheál rotating with Leo. Tánaiste Leo. So we'll have to update it as we go.
You have to update it. I presume
I had
like
Boris Johnson's set written, and then he went off and got engaged, and there's a baby on the way, which kind of changes the narrative.
And
it's going to be quite difficult, but it's like a border.
By the way, you didn't see the hands. Obviously, they're going like a helicopter, as they always are.
But yeah, no, there's lots of things. I mean, Trump is going to be in there. Some people get upset, but on a live tour, they know what they're buying, I think, at this stage, if they listen to the show.
Okay, just give us a song here. Dusty Springfield, yeah?
Dusty Springfield. Yeah, this is kind of the one that reminisces, because like yourself, into movies, and we'll watch the movie show. Wasn't it? It was just called the movie show. Yep. And you kind of talking about the pontificating with the movies.
Pontificating, brilliant.
And,
you mean.
The mid-90s, so that's kind of when I'm a teenager. And Tarantino was just so cool. I know Reservoir Dogs came first, but Pulp Fiction was kind of the one that landed for us.
Oh, yeah.
And then this song just kind of brings me back to the
mid-90s. Oh, so you got it from that, yeah. Because she's got better songs than this. There'll be a documentary on Dusty soon. Yeah. It's coming out soon.
She does, but this one just brings me to the film world, I've kind of been obsessed with Tarantino ever since. And I mean, I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, did you like the Hateful Eight? I thought it was rubbish.
Loved that. It's kind of two movies.
It's
two movies, and there's a kind of the
and then
room.
like three quarters of the way through, Channing Tatum pops up out of the floor. Sorry, what am I watching here? Anyway, let's go for it. This is Son of a Preacher Man. This is from Dusty Springfield. There you go, good old Dust. As in Dust We Trust. That's Dusty Springfield, Son of a Preacher Man. It is Oliver Callan. Just some final bits. I want to give the dates more than anything else. You know, possibly heading into another general election. Well, maybe not. You know, across the Atlantic, Trump doesn't seem too worried about not getting another term. You mentioned Johnson earlier, etc. Yeah. Do you find, seriously, I know this is like pretty obvious, but a lot of it's really beyond. Like, how can you out-Trump Trump?
How could you? Well, you just kind of just exaggerate the exaggerations, I suppose, don't you? I mean, he's a fantastic. Everyone loves the character. Beautiful character, to do believe me. And plus, it's a live show, so you can get to put on the wig and the long tie.
Oh, right, of course.
So you get to stalk the street. And I like to see people get unnerved. I like the part of the show where people go, ooh, you know, where they're a little bit uncomfortable, and then you can stalk ever closer to them. And he's a stalky type of a character. So yeah, no, you used to do it. People are expecting comedy when they go through the door having paid for the ticket. So it's a little bit different to what you're doing on radio
or
TV, where it pops up unexpectedly, perhaps.
Absolutely. Well, then you can do that in Limerick and Athlone on March 21 and March 28. And then it's April 4 is Westport. And then it's Carlow a few days after, well, the week after that. And then it's Cork on April 12th.
Oh,
then
House
it's
on Easter Sunday.
Portlaoise. Oh, is that Easter Sunday, is it? Portlaoise on April 17th. It's Birr on the 18th. Navan on the 24th. Castleblaney on the 25th. And then it's into May, which is Kilkenny on May the 7th. It's Sligo on the 8th. Dundalk on the 9th. It's Virginia on the 14th. It's Roscommon on the 15th. It's Letterkenny on the 16th. Navan is the 17th. Bordgosh, Dublin is 22. And the 28th is the Town Hall in Galway. And then finally, the 29th is the Theatre Royal in Waterford. And some of those are already sold out. See, where can they check them out?
Aiken Promotions, I suppose. Aikenpromotions.ie. Right. They have all the tours and the little clicky thing that you can do.
Oliver, it's been a pleasure, and enjoy the road. Good man yourself.
Well,
thank you very much indeed.
It's fantastic. It's great.
Just hold on, one last thing. One last song, a track to finish. Carly Simon,
Carly Simon, we're big fans of Carly Simon in our house. It's kind of our mellow, you know, Saturday morning thing.
Nobody Does It Better.
Oh, Nobody Does It Better.
Are you a Bond
fan? Which is kind of a
kick
back to Radiohead as well, isn't it? Because Tom York does a really good version of that. Bond fan, kind of retrospectively. I mean, I get a good laugh out of watching the Roger Moore ones in particular with the arched eyebrow.
He brought it into the gutter as far as I'm concerned. All right, listen, Oliver, it's been a real pleasure. Oliver Callan, it is. Just check
Thank
him out
so
there. Aiken Promotions for all the gigs around the country right up to the end of May, and then possibly autumn again as well.
Possibly in the autumn, we've got to do the other. We're doing 20 this time, 20 counties.
Right.
So we've 12 more.
Indeed,
up
you
north,
do.
Down south.
Absolutely.
We should do Kerryshire.
Oh my God. On that note, Oliver, good man. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, good night. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.